Okay, can someone on the line? For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. When you come out of meditation, maintain your mindfulness for as long as you can. Make sure your mind is continuously aware, silent. Then all of the movement, you will be able to be aware later on, as it stabilizes. Okay, now we will continue with our retreat program, 4:30 to 5:30. Q&A followed by review of Heart Sutta, short notes, Dhamma notes, that Brother Theo had given out earlier on. Then to develop the proper understanding of the Dhamma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you can ask any question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and real life application of the Dhamma, etc. Okay, now we will have our reporting of meditation followed by whatever question you have. You just raise your hand, we will pass you the caller's phone. Anybody? You should try to report your meditation, otherwise you won't learn. What about those who are new? Do you know how to go about doing the meditation? Those from Penang. Why no response? Don't be shy, we are here on a retreat. You are here to learn. So whatever you want to know and understand, you can ask. Anybody? Otherwise, we may have to give them some paper. You can write your question now if you want to. Do we prepare those things? At the back there, it seems you can have the paper at the back. Then you can write whatever question, then you put it in front here later on. Okay, since nobody wants to report meditation, then maybe we will go through the Heart Sutta. Before the Heart Sutta, I think I will go through some short notes so that you can understand. There's a typical first to the 4th of May 2013. This was based on a 4-day retreat, mindfulness meditation retreat at Sompo Temple, Princhang, Cameron Highlands, also conducted by me. Below is a very good short note by an anonymous Kayanamita to assist yogis attending meditation retreat. We are sharing with them her own very useful and rather beneficial experience while there. So I will read this to you for sharing, then you may understand. So before retreat 1.1, he said, I have planned my cultivation seriously, and I'm looking forward to the 5 days of mindfulness meditation retreat at the Mahayana Triple Gem Temple, Cameron Highland. I intend to strive on with faithfulness to progress along the path of Dhamma, to realize my good and noble wishes via proper cultivation. My inquiry was, can true peace, bliss, happiness, understanding and enlightenment be realized by me during this retreat? So this should be your pure aspiration too. If you can come to this retreat and realize true peace, bliss, happiness, understanding and enlightenment, that will be very beneficial and we will rejoice. Then she said, I'm usually not the serious type, But after understanding the dangers of heedlessness, bear this in mind. Because the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So the danger of heedlessness is if you are heedless, you got no chance of salvation, you are as if dead. So she said, after understanding the danger of heedlessness as frequently pointed out by Brother Teo, I have decided to seize upon this golden opportunity to seriously cultivate at this retreat. So early this year, I have already signed up for the retreat to immerse myself into the cultivation of the daily mindfulness. Meditation leading to the heedfulness and the and hopefully to become more wise. Then to realize the silent mind, the stillness, and the peaceful state of mind that is free of all my usual fear, worry, and anxiety over my health, career, relationship, and other life-related problems is really not easy. To see whether I could just stop for 5 days all this heedless thinking, leading to all the fear, worry, anxiety, and perhaps after that I won't be heedless anymore. I will be more calm and peaceful, because by then I would be able to know the big difference between heedless living and heedful living. This should be your aim. Before you come, your mind state, you can know. It thinks a lot, it worries a lot, it has a lot of mental hindrance. It is always thinking, heedless, worrying, planning and doing all those funny things. But in the retreat, you can reverse all this. The heedless mind can be trained to be heedful. And you will experience the great peace, the calmness, the stillness, the silence. So all this is going to help you. Okay, then 1.2, during the retreat. On the third day of silent meditation, apart from chanting the puja, I said just 14 words, all of them in the course of asking a question. See, this lady was able to maintain noble silence. Experiences on day 1, 2, 4, and 5 were all very different, but they were really beautiful. After the third day, not talking turned out to be easy, but mental chattering is not easy to relinquish. Initially, the mindfulness meditation is not easy either, but somehow after the first day, it started to settle in, and later stabilize very quickly. It's just like a new way of living life, with heedfulness most of the time, instead of being totally heedless throughout the day, or most of the time, like before. The 5 mental hindrances that hinders my mind from becoming peaceful and calm has been replaced by the corresponding 5 spiritual faculties, which are so wonderful. The spiritual faculties, especially sadha, the faith, the virya and sati, had enabled me to develop a very composed, calm and clear mind so easily, leading to my ability to understand the Buddha Dhamma so much easier now. Then understanding what is true mindfulness and heedfulness, you have to listen to this. As opposed to usual thought-based meditation, this is awareness or mindfulness-based meditation that can lead one to seeing things as they are without the interference of thought, and to awaken or insight into the 3 universal characteristics of nature, namely anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. At first I thought the noting of mental intention that I used to do at other retreats was mindfulness. I was wrong, because I was doing it without understanding what mindfulness or sati is. After listening attentively, the rudder tail and reading through his rather clear and simple Dhamma transcript book and notes given to us, I was able to understand what mindfulness of sati really is. Then I was able to cultivate with understanding, confidence and ease. It is just a silent mind with inner awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought. To be in a relaxed state of silent inner awareness to experience the moment without any reaction or movement of thought is true sati. Always remember that when your thought don't arise, you are already in true sati. Then you will come to understand that unless you are mentally silent, you cannot be attentive and aware via sati. I read this again. Then I was able to cultivate with understanding, confidence and ease. Then I continue. It is just a silent mind with inner awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought. To be in a relaxed state of silent inner awareness, to experience the moment without any reaction or movement of thought is true sati. Since you can only do one thing at a time, you are either aware or lost in thought. So this one you must bear in mind. Then you will come to understand that unless you are mentally silent, you cannot be attentive, the aware via sati. Otherwise, you are heedlessly lost in thought because you are preoccupied with all the thinking and reaction of mind without any inner awareness at all. Heedfulness or apamada means to use the silent mind with inner awareness to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, to develop the wisdom via the direct seeing, to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta. Then understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This one is very useful. The meditation as taught by the Buddha are twofold. First is just to train the mind to be heedful, following Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23. Then secondly is to use it to cultivate the third turning of the Four Noble Truths, especially the Noble Eightfold Path. As stated by the Buddha in his Fourth Noble Truth, if one cultivates this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead one to the end of all suffering, cessation of all suffering, or enlightenment. So any meditation that does not lead the cultivator back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. As clearly pointed out by Brother Teo, this three turning of the Four Noble Truths was so clearly emphasized by the Buddha in his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, to the five ascetics. And it is stated that even he himself as a bodhisattva had to understand this Four Noble Truth in his three turning and 12 aspects of mode. Otherwise, he cannot be considered the fully enlightened one. The three turnings can give rise to the three types of corresponding wisdom called Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. The first type of wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, arises after hearing the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha, whereas the second type of wisdom can only arise after attentive and creative contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha under his first turning. So this second turning involves reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Then after that, only after Brother Teo's very detailed explanation of what this second turning wisdom is, Do I really understand the importance of Dhamma contemplation and investigation to arise this second turning wisdom called Cittamaya Panya? The third turning is all about meditation or bhavana leading to the awakening. The second turning wisdom is the most important because it can lead to awakening too. If the cultivator's past cultivation is really very established, otherwise it will act as a very stable base for them to receive little truth from any of the three turning cultivation. So all these three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, they are in your appendix of the Heart Sutta. You can refer to them. How the three type of corresponding wisdom can arise. Then Dhamma contemplation, this is where I will teach you, is best done in a retreat or a way place that is very quiet with a tranquil setting, with a lot of very conducive supporting conditions for Dhamma contemplation and wisdom to arise. Just like this Mahayana temple, where the surrounding nature, the flora, the energy are so conducive for Dhamma contemplation. One just has to be in a natural, relaxed state of mind to do this Dhamma contemplation and investigation while standing or walking or sitting in the open or within the vicinity of the temple. When we silence our mind to reflect and contemplate on the beautiful nature within the temple and its surrounding, we will be able to perceive the great stillness energy of the nature there within our heart. We will also be aware of all the flow of nature, like the swaying of the leaves and branches of the forest trees, the breeze, the beautiful cool and breezy weather, the beautiful cloud formation, the chirping of the birds, and beautiful insect sounds and vibration, and other nature's vibration, the beautiful sight and sound of the colonial building, dead trees, temple chanting, vibration of temple bells, moving cars, flowing stream, etc. When we are silent, it is like our nature can take them all in. Our hearts like open up to embrace them all as a great oneness in pure spacious awareness that is not caught in the proliferation of thought. This is very important. Otherwise, you got nothing to do. You only think and worry. You think of home, you think of your office, your job. If you are married, you think of your children. This is not for you to do when you are at a retreat. When you are at a retreat, you are silent to embrace all that is within nature. So that you have clarity of mind, so that you are aware, so that your true mind, your mindfulness is fully aware. You can be with the moment to experience life, to live life, so that you are not lost in thought, you are not thinking, proliferating. So this is very important, not caught in the proliferation of thought. Then we can radiate loving kindness and compassion to all living beings. You should learn to do that. Have love towards all living beings. And we can also share and transfer merits to them. As we do this more and more, everything we come to be aware of can become Dhamma for us to develop the wisdom born of Dhamma contemplation. We can perceive the phenomenal world so clearly and understand its condition, arising nature, leading to the penetrative understanding of the Buddha's teaching regarding impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, anicca, dukkha, anatta. There was so much joy and realization. Even the dead trees, with their pristine beauty, stillness, and wonders, seemed so beautiful. Contemplation on death or marana nusati is like so simple and easy. There is only love, no negativity. The mind is always at ease and at peace, and peaceful. Mind is so relaxed, creative, silent, still, and peaceful within. So if you are able to relax and just let things be, your mind should be this way. We can also see our own physical flow, like the blinking of our eye, turning, bending, stretching, change of posture, etc. Mind and body, or kaya, as one, and always in harmony and perfect synchrony. And our mental flow, like every moment of perception, feeling, sankhara, activity of mind, such as our mental intention, reaction, thinking, planning, scheming, and consciousness, etc. As we contemplate and move around in a very relaxed and natural way. Even nature's flow, like the moving car, the moving cloud, the moving plants, the sway of the trees, the branches, and the various other movements and flow within nature, they are so clear. Because when your mindfulness is very clear, you can see them. You are one with them. Our typical day schedule activities start at 6 a.m. and end at 9:30, interspaced with formal sitting and lying down meditation, informal walking and bowing meditation to strengthen our spiritual faculties. Then we have chanting, contemplative meditation, to arise the second turning, contemplative wisdom. Dharma sharing, meditation reporting, and question and answer, followed by a sustained, continuous flow of daily mindfulness training. We are having a good religious routine. A lot of very important essential Dharma notes given to us were also discussed and clearly explained to us by Brother Teo, to enhance our Dhamma understanding. So this one, not only you listen attentively when I read, you should go back and also read through again to understand it clearly. It will help you. Then 1.5 is getting started. Most yogis normally arrive at the retreat place exhausted and burnt out, especially so during the first day of sitting meditation session. They started feeling tired, completely exhausted and useless. Their mind just cannot settle down to be mindful and aware, and there are a lot of random thoughts, and mind is just restless most of the time. But the retreat activity and training really helps, and yogis usually leave the retreat feeling buoyant, light, happy, and much more relaxed, calm and peaceful. There is brightness in their eyes, and much more faith, clarity, and joy in their mind. Their body too is more relaxed, upright, light, and fresh. When I checked in, I was assigned a dormitory with double-decker bed. I zeroed in to look for a nice bed, and was happy to note that the toilet facility with the hot water system and hotel-like condition were available. But then I remembered, I'm here on a retreat to cultivate simplicity and silence of my mind. I felt apprehensive. I missed my children, but I didn't miss my BlackBerry. So you turn off your handphone, but you make sure you don't off it completely. You put it on silent mode, it's enough, okay? Because sometimes you may have important message or urgent message. So I don't want you to miss out on that. So anyway, when you on your handphone, be mindful, be aware. Then sometimes there are messages that come in from the committee member. So this is how we decimate information. Most of the time we try to make announcement, but as the retreat continue, we try to maintain more and more noble silence. Then you will receive just text messages. Then walking outside a few minutes after dinner, after you can do it, after our dinner, you can try this. My anxiety will calm by the great beauty and rather conducive environment that this temple has to offer. The beautiful nature and natural setting surrounding the temple too was superb. The weather was just nice, cooling and surrounding air very fresh. Then 1.6, daily meditation diary, from doubt to joy and confidence. Meals were vegetarian, simple but healthy, fresh and delicious. We learned to move around, gather and eat mindfully. One of the few sounds at meals was that particular clicking of utensil heating dinnerware. I really appreciate the silence at this time, where there is no occasion to chat about hometown, job, family problems, jokes, etc. After dinner, we have puja chanting, followed by Dhamma talk and meditation instruction. While most yogi were silent most of the time to cultivate noble silence, some were not. So you had to find out for yourself. Noble silence can only be appreciated when one has developed it well. See, this is very important. If you have not developed it well, you won't appreciate what is noble silence. We start our first formal sitting meditation with instruction to understand what is meditation, like what I told you just now. And what are we doing in the name of meditation? This is very important. Then Bharatiya explained to us clearly why yogi who have yet to train their mind is heedless and think a lot most of the time. It is due to the presence of the five hindrances, mental hindrances, like what I explained just now. And he teaches us how to develop the opposite five spiritual faculty to counter this mental hindrance. We are cultivating our puja and contemplating on who our Lord Buddha is. To develop the understanding, the faith, the diligence, spiritual zeal and perseverance. Then how to reverse our heedless thinking? We are using the mind sweeping method to feel and relax only, no more thinking, and the use of metta to lighten up the mind state to bring about inner well-being. This is followed by anapanasati training to stabilize our sati or mindfulness. We are anchoring it to our breath, which is always within the moment. Just relax and be aware at the nostril area to feel the breath, to attend only to our breathing. If the sati or awareness wanders off, just patiently return it to its training. Without any reaction or judgment. One of the many easier said than done instructions. But if one is patient enough, it is easy to learn how to ride. Sorry, it is easier than learning how to ride a bicycle. After all, we are here to train and tame the heedless mind. I went to sleep the first night tired, uncertain. But unlike many other nights, I had a good sleep. The word should be sleep. Then sinking into the meditation, training 1.7. There were signs posted everywhere to preempt questions and remind us to be mindful, aware, and more considerate. These are signs in the bathroom about turning light off after use. Be mindful to maintain noble silence and to take out the trash. There were also signs in the kitchen about how to eat and move around mindfully and clean up. Closing door quietly, handphone to silent mode while in the meditation and Dhamma hall, etc. We woke up at 5:45 and get ready for morning chanting at 6:15. Followed by formal meditation. Then we had our breakfast. After breakfast, we had our chanting and reflection, followed by formal group meditation. After that, we had our meditation reporting camp Q&A session, followed by Dhamma sharing. Then during this session, I learned and developed a lot of understanding from this group sharing. We maintain noble silence most of the time to cultivate the daily mindfulness and Dhamma contemplation during our waking moments. Also, the collective energy of the group meditating and cultivating together over a sustained period can help improve, motivate, show up each other's individual's effort and ability to meditate. We meditated on cushion, floor mat, or straight back chairs. Each person customized his or her own spot with cushion or little kneeling platform. Cross-legged are the predominant position. The first day I looked around and copied other positions to find the right one for me. But no matter how I settled in, at some time, I was itching to move. Was I the only one who could not sit with ease? The silence was intimidating. What if I cough? Just scratching my arm sound like screeching cats. By the second full day, I was more calm and mindful, and my sitting meditation improved. At the beginning of the retreat, I was longing for the bell to ring during formal sitting meditation. But towards the end of the retreat, there was sitting at which I looked forward to it to be longer, and the ringing of the bell was like a bit too fast. 1 hour of awareness meditation was like very fast. This you will experience as you progress into the meditation. Then walking meditation, this one you have to learn because you do a lot here. The advice by Baratheo for our walking meditation was to walk naturally in a very relaxed state of awareness. Always be at ease but aware within. The walk can be slow or fast, it's up to the individual. And the main idea is to slow down the mind. Always remember, slow down your thinking mind and not the bodily movement. You can move naturally like your normal pace. By anchoring it to the kaya, means your mindfulness, your awareness and your body move as one. Just aware, that's it. Initially like not smooth, but after you have done it for a while, it will settle down and automatically become aware. Then you realize that is the speed that is most conducive. During that speed, you are just aware and you are very relaxed and mindful because your thought is no more or less. By anchoring it to the kaya so that the mind is always silent and within the moment without thought. When you are able to walk in a very natural and relaxed state, following your normal day-to-day speed until you can be aware of your breath, body and mind moving as one. That is the best. Like you go for jogging. You walk until the pace, your body, mind and breath move as one, very harmonious. And you feel very good and you are not tired. That is the pace that you should aim for. You just walk. Then it can also keep you in shape, exercise. When you are able to walk in a very natural and relaxed state following your normal day-to-day speed until you are aware of your breath, body and mind moving as one, then you are in sati and you will become more and more mindful. It's like training yourself to master Tai Chi or Yoga. The slowing down will happen on its own and your movement will be like a flow and very graceful. Then you will be able to maintain awareness and mindfulness in all action, movement and activity within your kaya, from physical form naturally. you will come to be aware of the birth and death of your footstep. Yeah. So this one, birth and death of footstep, is very important. Eh? The movement of your limbs, eh? Your hand and your feet and your entire body, the turning, bending, stretching, and sensation within your kaya or physical body as you walk. So this is how you walk. Eh? Don't go and follow what they tell you, note the intention, lifting, lifting, pushing, forget about all those things. These are not natural. The natural one is when you walk, you just walk. Then your awareness is fully aware. Understand? Fully aware of all the movement. When I talk about birth and death, or the footstep is like, after you walk, this step, you will see it appearing, disappearing, arising, falling. Because this footstep will be very natural footstep. Eh? I hope this mic is long enough. Eh? You see, when you walk, you just stand, relax, eh? Then just walk naturally. But mindfulness, aware, understand? Then when you turn, you just reverse the leg. You no need to like them, turning, turning, no need. Just go forward, then step back, understand? Then you turn. You just continue to walk until the rhythm come in. Then when the rhythm come in, you are very, very surprised. Because that time, the mindfulness, like every part of it, you are aware. Your mind is aware of all this movement. Then you can see your footstep, like you see the movement, the way it arises means it's born. Then it go down, it stop, means it die. Understand? So the birth and death of this footstep, you will come to know through the awareness, not through the thought, not through a knowledge. You have to do it until it become part of you. Then you start to understand all this. So every part, when you turn, when you move, all the movement, your mind and your body as one, that is the real mindfulness. That's like turning, stretching, bending, everything is with awareness. It's not break up. Then whatever you do, you are aware. The movement, all, you are aware. It's like those who do yoga, you will know. But in the yoga, only you silent and you do. That's why, or Tai Chi. But in your normal pace of life, you don't know how to do that. Because it will look funny when you do that. But it can be done. It can be done. Because I did it almost 30 years ago. When 1987, 88, 89, I did it. And the daily mindfulness just came. That's why the awareness is, the mind is aware. It's not the thought that is aware. The thought that is aware is not mindfulness. There is noting, verbalizing. But the mind is completely silent and just aware. You can only do it if you continue to do until the mindfulness come, like bowing. You bow until the mindfulness come, then you will know what that sati is. Because the form and mind that is with the mindfulness will know what mindfulness is. If you don't know, means you have not done it. You have to do it. It's like swimming. Swim until you can float naturally without the float. And then you know what swimming is. If you're still dependent on the float, you can never understand swimming. So meditation is the same. Like anapanasati, do until the anapanasati come, the mindfulness of the in and out breath come, you will be aware. And you will understand what that thing is because you experience it. If you have not experienced it, it's all theory. No use. That's why just do. Don't try to know. Just do until the sati come. And when the sati come, everything I describe in the notes, you will experience them. Because that is your silent mind, your inner meditative mind, your true mind. The awareness before the knowing. So this is the real understanding of sati or mindfulness. Okay? If you are not sure, you can ask. So this part, you have to go back and slowly read through and comprehend it. So this walking meditation is key because throughout the day, you walk most of the time. Okay, then I read on. Maybe I will repeat this part. Excuse me. Yeah, I will repeat this part. It's like training yourself to master Tai Chi or yoga. The slowing down will happen on its own, and your movements will be like a flow and very graceful. Then you will be able to maintain awareness or mindfulness of all action, movement, and activity within your physical form or kaya. Naturally, you will come to be aware of the birth and death of every footstep, followed by its arising, sustaining, and passing away, and all other phenomena like the blinking of your eye, the movement of your limbs, your hand and your legs, and your entire body, the turning, bending, stretching, and sensation within your physical body as you walk. They will all be felt by your silent mind with clear awareness within. Just continue to be mindful and don't try to know anything, because the awakening or true understanding will arise by itself when you are silently aware of all phenomena without any reaction or judgment via your direct seeing and the silent mind. The awakening doesn't involve the thought. Always remember, just do, don't try to know. Then the silent mind will understand by itself. Then 1.9, meditation guideline to help you maintain the cultivation after the retreat. According to Bradio, many yogis are unable to continue their cultivation after the retreat, and they always complain that it is very difficult to cultivate while still working and living the householder's life, because the environment is just not conducive. And it is so difficult to maintain the silent mind with constant awareness and mindfulness to live life. They realize that after the retreat, within a short while, maybe only after a few days at the most, they are back to their old habit of reacting, getting angry, unhappy, fearful, and heedless lifestyle again, because of society's conditions, which are very challenging, competitive, and at times very harsh and aggressive. Brother Teo said, opportunity to continue your cultivation in daily life are possible, and it can be done if one is sincere, diligent, and serious about liberating oneself from the shackles of delusion and suffering. The daily mindfulness that Brother Teo had taught us, if done with understanding, can be developed to allow one to cultivate this stability of daily mindfulness, leading to the heedfulness in the midst of life or in the midst of one's career and householder's life. No problem at all, because Bradio has done it before. That time it was put there 20 plus years ago. So now it's about 30 years ago. According to Bradio, the world is not a quiet place. Even when civilization is less developed, distraction and problems created by the deluded mind via our mental projection leading to fear, worry, and anxiety can arise anytime, because the world is the world and living beings are just the way they are. So without wisdom, all phenomena created by the mind will be grasped at, and they will intrude into your mind and cause you suffering. And then there will be no peace. But peace, silence, and stillness are within us. So if we can develop the wisdom via the direct seeing, as taught by the Buddha, then we can see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment, so as to be at peace with all things. Then liberation from suffering is possible. All these are so beautiful. So I hope this is clear, because peace is within you. If you have the understanding, nothing can make you miserable or unhappy. The world outside is the world. You cannot control. Understand or not? You cannot want things your way. You cannot insist that things follow your way. No such thing. Nature has its own laws. Nature are subject to nature's law. That's why nature's law will play their role. And if you cannot accord and flow with nature's law, then you will develop conflict. Wherever there is conflict, there is chaos. So conflict will not lead to harmony. So this is very, very clear and very straightforward. So with this type of understanding, born of the direct seeing, your meditation, you will be able to understand life clearly. Then you will be able to be at peace with all conditions at all times. Then the last paragraph. My this retreat experience has taken my spiritual journey deep enough to hold me through the long drive home, to get me and my family started on a home practice. I plan to diligently and sincerely keep cultivating until I realize the enlightenment, or at least able to settle for just a slightly calmer, a more peaceful and wiser mind by an anonymous Kanamita. This was 5 years ago. You all can rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So with this, I hope it will help you to understand what you are going through during this 9 days retreat, and what you can be expected from this retreat. Because even she, a first timer that time, she benefited so much. So it's not difficult. And that was only 5 days. You have 9 days. Like Suyan this morning say, he gave you a head start. He will only be here on the 18th. So you got two days ahead of him. Okay. So that part, I think, is clear. Any question so far? Because in about 12 minutes, we have to go down for dinner. During dinner time, you have to maintain the heedfulness and the daily mindfulness training at all times. See, at the table, there will be one card for you to reflect on the food. But if you need one to read on your own, if you are new, you can go and get it from the place where they put the cups. There is one bowl where all the cards are there. Then you get hold of the card and you read through. Okay? What I will suggest is one person, every time you appoint somebody to read through, then you all silence your mind to listen attentively. This is like to cultivate gratitude towards people who has, through generosity, through wholesomeness, make available all this food for us to partake. And it's a synergy that the Buddha taught, because we are participants in the retreat. So through our activity, through our cultivation, through our retreat program, we develop a lot of wholesomeness. So this offering from these people who are generous, they can bring forth great fruits and great result for them. So to be worthy of offering, you have to cultivate sincerely. You have to be worthy of all this. Then you must have gratitude towards them. That's why you thank them. And you make aspiration on their behalf. May this wholesomeness or generosity expressed bring forth the causes and conditions for them to realize their good and noble wishes as soon as possible. Then also to reflect on the food. This food that is offered or prepared for us is not for us to develop the greed for the food or the craving for the food, but it's to sustain our body so that it can give us the required strength and health to cultivate. So that it will meet the ability to keep this body going, the sustenance of this body. Then we should also thank those people who make all this food available. So these are all the contemplative reflection that you can cultivate to develop the good mind, the wholesome mind, the mind that has gratitude, that has kindness, goodness. Then we have this understanding of what food is all about, so that we are mindful of the mind that has craving, desire. Then at the same time, it's not to beautify ourselves and all those things. So these are the teaching that you can learn. That's why I say when you are mindful, everything is Dhamma. When you are heedless, everything is karma, not Dhamma anymore. So if you are not careful, you end up creating more and more karma. You don't develop Dhamma. Okay, any question? We got about 10 minutes. Then if you read the program further, after your dinner, you have 45 minutes to rest and clean up. Then it's all in the program, page 3. But you need to maintain the heedfulness and daily mindfulness training at all time, even during rest time. Then even when answering nature's call, you can do it mindfully. Can also cultivate daily mindfulness via heedfulness and mindful evening walk. You can walk outside, but don't go outside for too long. I think 6:45 they will close the gate. So if you don't come back by 6:45, they will lock you out. Then you have to come to the back. You go up the hill at the back. Oh, those who are new haven't gone up. I think tomorrow I take you all up. So there is a hill at the back there. If you go through the kitchen door, tomorrow I will show you, there is a flight of steps that can lead you to the hill. You can ask some of those who came before, they will know. You can mindfully go up there, then you can meditate there, you can do your contemplation there. The nature, everything is very beautiful. You can see the whole monastery, and you can see the Brinchang town, the surrounding building, the moving car, everything. Then when you silent your mind, all of the nature's energy and vibration is engulfing. You can feel them. You can feel the breeze. You can feel that you are one with everything. That's why your nature is all nature, but you don't know. You limit yourself to the thought. You become the miserable thinking mind, the thought. And you lost your essence. Your essence is the eternal life, the oneness, the true nature. All this you can never understand until you meditate. Okay? Then there are also two ponds outside there, I think, near the gate there, before you go out, near the stupa. And you call it the monument or what, the other side. Why they put a turtle down there? Anybody know that? The monument with the turtle down there. Any significance or not? Use the mic. I can't hear you. Use the mic. Oh, turtle represent long life. Means you don't know what it means. It got a meaning there. But never mind. One day we will come to know. This is a Mahayana tradition. Anyway, thank you for your input. Turtle normally represent long life. They say turtle can live up to 1,000 years. I don't know. There must be a significance. So anyway, next to these two monument or One monument, one stupa, there is fish pond, still around or not? Still around. If you observe the fish, there's a lot of dhamma there. So you don't go and play with the fish. You are not supposed to do that. But this fish can give you dhamma when you understand. You see how they move within that clear, beautiful water that has a lot of qi. They are very lively. Whereas polluted water, the fish are not healthy. So like our human form and mind, if we are in an environment where there is a lot of purity within the environment, within the atmosphere, the air we breathe and all those things, then you can be more healthy and you can have better mind state too. Then it's more conducive for training, for meditation and living life. So you should treasure all these things, cherish all these things, and rejoice that you still have the condition to receive all this beautiful setting. As we know, our civilization has progressed until, if you are not careful, there's a lot of side effect of civilization's progress. We neglect our environment until environment somehow evil has its reaction from nature. So the world has experienced a lot of all this. So now they are going back to rectify what they have done wrong, like the green energy, sustainable living and all those things. If you are selfish, you neglect the environment. If you destroy environment will destroy you. Because you and the environment is one. Man and nature is one. From nature we come. To nature we shall return. If you do not love nature, protect nature, guide nature, when nature gets destroyed, we are part of nature. We will also get destroyed. So the oneness is like that. If you harm any part, the entire cosmic will be affected. So human beings who are selfish do not understand. They only think of themselves. Who is it? You just arrived. Oh, okay. What's your name? You have your notes? From where? KL. Come. You have your notes already? Oh, okay. Yeah. Correct. You came to my house. Join us. Come. We are about to go down for dinner. Okay. I think you can get ready. Then pay respect mindfully to Triple Jab. It's a good tradition. Every time before you leave this place, pay respect to the Triple Jab. You can either do your salutation to the great beings, or Buddhang Pujayami, Dhammang Pujayami, Sangham Pujayami. Then if you know the great being, you can specifically pay respect to them all. Then after that, mindfully take your shoe, go down, then assemble at the dinner place. Okay. Then evening chanting is 7:15. Try to be in by 7:15 because you don't need so much time to rest. Okay? I will ring the bell at 7:15. Then we can have our... 6:45. We're supposed to have 30 minutes of formal sitting and lying down meditation. 6:45 means... our dinner is very short. Okay. You only have half an hour for your... Sorry. You got enough time. 5:30, you finish your dinner. Oh, 6 o'clock you finish your dinner. Then 6 to 6:45 you rest. Yeah. Correct, yes. Then 6:45 you come back here. Huh? Okay. Sorry about the mix-up. Huh? You read your program. Huh?